morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house, and I was a little bit, as I was told the fellas, I guess a little bit of faith because I thought maybe this cold morning and some of you wouldn't shake out of under the covers and come. But praise the Lord, you did. You're here, and we're so thankful to see you. And it looks like everybody's looking good this morning, and the sun's shining bright out there, and certainly the Son of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is shining His love upon us. And I see it in your face this morning. Welcome to each and every one of you as we come together this morning to worship. Psalms 31, a few verses from it as we share. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thy ear to hear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For Thou art my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for Thou art my strength. Unto Thy hand I commit my spirit, and thus redeem me, O Lord, God of truth. That's our God. Let's worship.
Even worship this morning, using 428, singing the first and third verse, and Benny will have a prayer. This whole thing. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine.
Rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises, gladly seeking, walking in sunlight on my throne. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praise, Jesus is mine.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are. As we come together this morning, we just rejoice in Your goodness, dear God. We look out and among our folks here, dear Heavenly Father, and just see how You've blessed them and how they desire to come and honor You and to worship, Heavenly Father, and give You thanks for the good things You bring forth in our life. And the best thing that You ever brought to us was the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Savior. And we're so thankful for Him, Heavenly Father. We're thankful for this holiday season we just came through, Heavenly Father, that has a meaning of Christmas has a meaning of the birth of Christ, Heavenly Father. We hope that many, Heavenly Father, would come to understand better Your way for their life and have Jesus to work in their lives, dwell in their hearts, Heavenly Father. So this morning as we come, dear God, we thank You for this past week, the provision. We thank You for helping our church family through the safely through the holiday season, dear God, and blessing them with their families and all the joy that they experience, dear God. But now it's a great joy just to come and come together as a church family and honor You. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that You would bless each and every one present here this morning. Look into our lives and help us, Heavenly Father. Decisions we have to make and things we have to deal with, Heavenly Father, might the Holy Spirit work with us well and guide us into all truth and all good things and make everything work out for good for us, because we really love You, dear God, and we know more than that, You love us. You demonstrated that through Your Son, Jesus. So we're here this morning to thank You and to praise You, Almighty God, for Your goodness. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
For communion hymn using 139, sing the first and the second verse. Because Jesus.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of meeting together. We thank you for this table. We have had the opportunity to meet around. We thank you for your sacrifice. And as we partake of these emblems, allow us to remember that the bread stands for your body, that the blood is the juice that we drink. We thank you for everything that you've done for us there on that cross. We ask that you please help us to remember these. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house, especially today, and you just had to take a little more effort to be here today, I'm sure of that, so we're glad that you did that. I mean, that shows your concern about your spiritual welfare and certainly shows your concern and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our God. Thank you for being here. Share a couple of things. I should have called you, Donna, but we usually on January, we usually dismiss our Fun Food Fellowship night, and because... two reasons, because of all the activities and all the food and all that, you know, that we have here at the end of the year, for one thing. And then secondly, we are not sure about the weather and so forth. So we will not be having our Food Fellowship this coming Friday night. We look forward to seeing you here, though, in February and having a great time together. It's always a good time. You folks are just so good to get together as a church family and just have fun, and it's so good. Thank you for being a part of that. Some of you folks that haven't been a part of that, we want to encourage you to come and be a part, because you'll be glad you did, that's for sure. Okay, and what else? Robert's got a birthday day. This is the fourth. That's Tuesday. It's not on. You didn't get in on the first day of the year, did you? Yeah. That's Tuesday, yeah. All right. So happy birthday to you, Robert. Robert's going to be 56 years old, and no, he's not. No, he's not. You know, he's a young man yet. Robert's a young man. Don't we wish we was a... No, we don't. Yeah. Okay, get off of Robert back there. Okay, so good. So glad to hear from you folks and know that you had a good holiday season. You had family together and so forth, and just a grand time, and so busy, and so... It was a busy time, but a good time, wasn't it? God is so good to us. It's just, he's so good. All right. Nothing else in particular taking place in the next week, but just be safe, be warm, and praise the Lord for his goodness in all things. And let's see, we shared with you the ark thing, and I don't know, I believe Tina and Ron, you did take your grandchildren. How did you feel? Have you ever been there before? How did you feel standing beside that structure? Isn't that awesome? You went? Oh, okay. Great. I mean, and it's still on. I don't know when they'll be taking that down. But then also we hope that that you'll be able to tour that, because that is, to go through that, it's something. You'll be glad you did. All right. Let's see. Anything else taking place that we want to share with the church family? All right. Once again, it's so good to see you folks here. We about everybody's here. And you know, that's good. The last Sunday, last worship day of the year. But then remember, next week will be the first Sunday, the first Lord's Day. And that gives you an opportunity to start your year off, to have a perfect... How many here... now, Maxine will be working this up for me in the next week or two, and we will recognize that in the 1st of February, the perfect attendance and so forth. How many didn't miss a Sunday last year? Great. That's great. Great. And, you know, we also said if you're on vacation or away from home... And you go to church with some of your people, or you just are on vacation, you go to church somewhere, that's all right. You let us know, and we give you credit for that. And it's just so good to see that so many. But I tell you, I'm so thankful to see you people that are so faithful. You people, even though not everybody is here every Sunday, and not everybody is expected to be here every Sunday, things happen, and we just can't. But it's always been good to see so many that are here so close to every Sunday. And so we thank you for that. And thank you, thank you. All right, anything else you want to share? Anything, anybody? We'll let you do that. Help me out. I mean, there's so much good things. I can't keep it all together. You people have to share. All right, now let's turn to our prayer list then. And I'm looking around to see who is absent because of illness. We know Vi and Dale. And as I shared with you, I think last week or something, we'd visit with Vi and Dale. Didn't do that this week. And they were looking much better and so forth. They're looking better. And I see Norma Jean. Boy, she looks better this morning. And we just keep praying for you. And you just keep perking up there for us, kiddo. And several people that have been ill as here. And we still have several on our prayer list. And go up and down it and keep all these in your hearts and your minds and on your prayers. Keith, I believe he had an uncle. Yes, sir. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keith had an uncle, I think, passed away, so be in prayer for that family. We told you about our neighbor passing away and was buried this week. And keep that family in your... You know, isn't it wonderful to know that we have experienced in our lives and how that the Holy Spirit will work in people's lives when they lose a loved one and so forth, the comfort that comes to them. And so be thankful for that and be prayerful for those who have lost loved ones. Several others on our prayer list. And William, your friend William, did you hear anything?
It's bad. They misdiagnosed the heart attack. Okay. It's actually cancer. He is full.
Okay.
Lung, liver, prostate, brain.
I can't quite hear all, but other people does. That's good. So we just keep praying for all these people and good things are happening. Who else is? Okay. Judy and Jerry's not here, and we have anybody talked to them the last couple of days? We haven't, and we usually talk to them pretty regularly, but I'm sure they're not here because of the cold weather and the distance they travel and so forth. And so, who else? Okay, we don't want to miss anyone. We want to constantly keep in our hearts, our minds, the needs of our people, and be so thankful. All right.
So we need to be praying
for him. Okay, thank you. Thank you. And then also our nation, our leaders, a lot of things are taking place and some good, some bad. And that's to be expected with the leadership that we have and so forth. But let's pray that God would just input in them wisdom to help lead America in a strong, great way that we can be an example and most of all might God be the reason for that. Our Lord Savior Jesus be set forth toward other nations that they might recognize and we might have peace with them. Our folks in the care homes, certainly remember them. Hopefully that if you had someone in the care home, why that you was able to have a good visit with them over the holidays. The service people, as we mention them all the time, and just pray for them that God will bless them and keep them safe until they can return home to their families. So much to be praying about, and just take time to do that, and yet so much to be thankful for, and God is so good, and he's still pouring out the blessings, and people will just keep seeking him. And I wrote a little thing, you know, if our nation, if our people, if our leaders, if we would all, you know, seek Jesus, yeah, and I hope this holiday season we just went through will kind of have some effect to our nation as a whole, to our church, to people, and that they will look more to Jesus. If we'll look to Jesus, and he'll guide us into good things. He'll bless us with good things. Amen.
For our prayer hymn this morning, using hymn number 99, singing the first and third verse, and Doodlebug will have it first. Y'all sing. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a place that is wondrously fair. For he goes in the light of his presence. 'Tis a beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the
beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Beautiful garden of
there my Savior awaits
as he opens the gates
to the beautiful garden of prayer. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, and he bids you come meet with him there. Receive a new blessing in the beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits, and he opens the gates to the beautiful. Invitation hymn be number 309, 309. Now the choir will write the special.
Amen. Thank you, choir. It's really great here, isn't it? But that song says it all. It's going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful when we get there. Yes, we're so proud of Douglas. I'm a little bit of hard hearing and don't hear too far back, but I know that what you're talking about. We're proud of that young man. He's been here ever since he accepted the Lord. He's been here every Sunday. Charles demonstrated the same thing. He has been so faithful in coming and so forth. And also, I want to say also, we have 1, 2, 3 college folks back there, young people in college. And when they're home, they're here. And That's great. And we appreciate that. And we just pray the Lord just bless you in a great way as you faithfully continue to look to him. It's great. This morning, as we end up this year, I thought about what could we say. But when we look at all that's taken place, and I know that a lot of negative things and so forth, but I like what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:4, and he says, "Rejoice always," he says. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." And regardless of what the circumstances was, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute, rejoice. As I think about the year coming to an end here, the end of a year, and we find ourselves in a world full of problems, doubts, worries, fears. We have aged people who just fear they don't know what's going to happen. They get all scared up about their Social Security and all the insurance and everything that's taking place. And it's scary to a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that's worrying because of things that has happened, what's going to happen next year. And some people just doubt that it'll ever change, but oh, it can. And then there's problems, and we all have problems, don't we? You ever, any of you free from problems? Ever had a problem? We all face that kind of stuff. And so here we are at the end of the year, and we're entering into the new year, and we sing that song, you know, and you hear it played the last couple of weeks, you hear it, "Joy to the World," and all that. It ought to be in it. When we think about how good God is, we ought to rejoice, you know. God is so good, and we ought to be joy. For what God has done for people on earth, there ought to be joy ringing everywhere. And so I love to hear those, and I love to sing "Joy to the World," you know. But, you know, there's not as much joy as we'd like to see in it. And I don't believe there's as much joy as God would like to see. God pours out his blessings upon the people and gives his very best to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we don't have the joy in this world that we'd like to have. We can be joyful, but we look around us and we see people. If you were to go out there if you'd go this afternoon up at Georgetown, stand out in front of the courthouse up there on Main Street, and if you ask people as they walked by, you know, that why aren't you more cheerful? I was in Walmart last night, and I was thinking about this. And so I walked through Walmart, and I was looking at people, and I was trying to make judgments, in a sense, of what they might be thinking about, and looking on their face, trying to read them a little bit, you know. And actually I saw, and I wish I could say different, but I saw more people that had an expression of unhappiness than I did joy. And that's sad. To live in this country that we live in, to be blessed by Almighty God as we are, to experience His love, there ought to be more joy than there is. There ought to be no joy. And if you'd ask them why they are not so happy, you would probably get some answers like this. "Well, you don't know what I'm going through, or you wouldn't be so happy either." And some would say, "God is so far away." But you know, that isn't true. God isn't far away. I haven't listened for several years now, I guess. Ed Bousman used to be, he's dead now, an evangelist on the radio, and he's been here and preached here. And isn't it often just slipped my mind? God is, how does that go? Anyhow, he's saying God is not far away. Who has that?
God is just a prayer away.
Okay. But anyhow, the idea God is not far away. But some people think that, you know, that God is so far away. He's not. He is ever near, ever present with us. And then, you know, they say, you know, if you lived with my husband, you wouldn't be so happy either. Or wife, you know. It could be But boy, but God, I'm so thankful that God blessed me with a good wife. And some people say, yeah, you know, if you had these naughty kids I got, you wouldn't be so happy either. Well, that's your fault. Yeah, really is. You know. And some will say, well, I'm stuck and I just can't change. That's not true. Ask most of you. And most of you at one time were stuck at some point in something. I was stuck pretty low. The Lord lifted me up. And so you can change. And we're seeing that. You know. Here's a young man that's it's changed his life in the last few weeks. Right, Douglas? Yeah, he's got different thoughts. Thinks different. Enjoying things better. Sees things better. Yeah. Someone say, you know, people have mistreated me. And I'm not going to be happy until I get even. I've heard people say that right now. I like what Luke writes in Luke 1:14. You know, he talks about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this. He says, you know, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Oh, if that verse could just explode. If hopefully this season, I hope across the nation, around the world, that people would realize this joy and gladness comes because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was born in Bethlehem. He was birthed there to a virgin, and he walked with men, and he died for our sins, and he's in heaven too. Now, as our advocate, how wonderful it is. Man, that's enough to rejoice in. And so, yeah, we look on the other side, and we don't like to do that, but you know, the coin has two sides, and my heart goes out to those people who are not happy, they're not joyful, does not realize what we have in God. And you know, that very first thing happened with Herod. You remember when the wise men came? They came, what did they come? They came like you people. They came looking for Jesus. And Herod, you know, he should have been excited, shouldn't he? He should have said, he should have been serious of what he said. You go find him, come and show me, and I'll tell me, and I'll go worship him. Oh, he didn't want that. He wasn't happy. You know what the scripture says, don't you? It says, Herod and all Jerusalem was troubled. And I'm convinced there's people troubled today because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. So there's two coins. Peter says, you know, and I like what the apostle Peter says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through many manifold temptations. What he's saying, you know, hey, it's not all rosy. It's not a bed of roses. It's not, everything's not going to be good. You're going to run against some temptation. You're going to have a few tough times. But he said, in all, rejoice. That's what Paul says, the apostle Paul says. Now, he says, not that I speak out of respect, but he said, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am, therefore, to be content. And I've told my story about growing up many, many times to you people. You probably get tired of hearing it, but I mean, I just like to take my mind back to when I was a child, you know, and so forth. And when I was there in a household of 12 kids, and my mom and dad was just laboring and feeding us and everything, and they did a good job of that, you know. And I was really content. I mean, I was so happy to have what we had until we moved over to Madison. And them rich people were told us we was poor and told us what we didn't have. But I found out they didn't have what I had. They didn't have contentment. And Paul says, where was Paul when he wrote this letter? He's in prison, chained to guard, 24 hours a day. And he says, whatever state I am, I can rejoice. I can rejoice. And you know what God did for him, didn't you? Yeah, he could say rejoice in God's goodness there, you know. I kind of put down some things and copied off and probably heard some of you people say this also, but it fits my life pretty good. And I hope it fits your life, because here's some of the reasons I can rejoice. And I hope my list is not too long. I've tried to make it very short, but boy, I could write all day about it. And you know, but you know the number one thing that causes me to rejoice? My sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. I have a Savior. You know, if nothing else, if the world was bleak and nothing else, I knew Jesus as my Savior and knew my sins were forgiven, I could really rejoice. I rejoice in the fact. I rejoice because I have many Christian friends. I rejoice because I have a good church family. We talked in our Bible study this morning about unity in the family, unity in the church and so forth. And I know there's churches that doesn't have unity, and in a church family there's disruptions and there's things that's happening that shouldn't be happening. But to have a good church family, I can rejoice in the fact that I am a part of this Porter church family. And so I can truly say that I can rejoice in a good church family fellowship. And I can rejoice in the fact that the Holy Spirit leads me. Leads me to the Word of God, and the Word of God guides me. So I rejoice in the fact that I have this book right here. That I can open up this book and the Holy Spirit can direct me to things and helps me and directs my life, guides me. So I can rejoice in the fact, hey, there's some people who don't have this book. I rejoice in the fact that I even got a couple copies of it, you know. I've got one sits by my desk, on my desk. I got two on my desk, one here and one there. And I got one that's wore out, and I just hate to lay it aside. Just been in it so much, you know, and not bragging, but it's so good. So good. So I can rejoice in the fact, when I sit down in my little office there, in my chair and my desk, the first thing I do is, you know, my face has, if I looked in the mirror, I'm sure this happens because I feel it. My face lightens up because I see my Bible open there. And then I go about my work, whatever it might be. And so I can rejoice that I have the Holy Spirit and God's Word to guide me and help me. And I am so thankful that I have a wife that loves me. I think. No, I don't. I know she does. You know, she would put up with me for, what, 60-some years if she didn't love me. But God has blessed me. I rejoice. You know, there's fellas, you know, fellas, we ought to be very thankful. And we ought to rejoice. If you've got a good wife, you've got something good. Amen? That's enough to rejoice in. And I rejoice in the fact that I'm as healthy as I am. And I shared with you and we went through it and you prayed for me. And you know my circumstances. But I know it's still there. But I rejoice in the fact that I can stand here and feel as good as I can and enjoy you good people. So I can rejoice. I know there's people, you know. I got cancer. You can't be happy if you got cancer. You ever, well, I don't know. You know, God uses different things in different ways to help different people know different things, enjoy different things. You know, sometimes, I don't know. I mean, I my heart goes out to people who have cancer, but whatever you might have, hey, you might have cancer, and it might be a time that God's going to settle you back. Hey, you need to stop. You need to take a look at what's going on. It's very possible he does that. And then you hear people say, boy, I'm healed of that, and boy, and then rejoice in the Lord. Hey, could be worse. You've heard the old story about it could be worse, you know. One neighbor saw the other neighbor down the street, you know, and he said, well, you know, John, my neighbor died. And the other neighbor said, well, that's really bad. And the neighbor said, well, it's not all bad. Well, he said, the man died. Well, how could it be? It's bad. Well, it could be worse because it could be me. Yeah. So look around and everything you see and what's happening, so it could be me. But God's blessed us. So, and I'm so thankful here. You know, I have in my life this year experienced several prayers, powerful prayers taking place. So I'm very thankful and I rejoice in the fact I have people like you that pray for me. I mean, that just excites me to know that where I'm at and what I'm doing, I got people that's praying for me. Isn't that exciting to you? And I rejoice in the fact, God, you put people in my life that cares about me, concerned about me, and prays for me. Just like I pray for you folks, you know. I mean, I rejoice in the fact that I have the understanding, I guess we could say, and the privilege of praying for our people, you know. I mean, to come before God of the throne, and Jesus is there interceding for us and helping us. The Holy Spirit is giving us thoughts and minds what we ought to be talking to God about, and we're talking about you. You know what? I mean, so I can rejoice in the fact that I have people that are praying for me, you know. So when you're in your worst, whatever's taken place, however down you might be, you need to understand there's somebody over there praying for you. Get up. Get up. Isn't that enough to rejoice in? What's the last one I got there? This new year, I rejoice in the fact that we're facing a new year. And you know what it is? It's not the old things over and over and over. It's a new start. You might not have had the best year you had in your life in 2017. That doesn't mean that 2018 is going to be the same way. A new start. I'm working on a sermon, All Things Are New. I mean, when you think about what God has done to you and what the Lord Jesus Christ brought you and made you new and all this, and there's always that new start. And the first of the year is a good time to make a new start. And a new start is just looking to Jesus. Depending, trusting Him to see you through, and you'll make it right on through. Paul's command is small. It's quite simple. Rejoice always in the Lord. And I will say again, rejoice. Short, but boy, that's a pretty hard command to keep in. It's pretty difficult sometimes. But when you feel that sadness and happiness is coming on you, rejoice in what God has done and doing for you. It'll make all the difference in the world. Paul commands us, all that is good and all that is right is found in Jesus Christ. Now, we experience good things here. But the reason we experience the good things we experience is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who brings to us those good things of God. He says, if you want anything, you ask the Father in my name. He is the resource of all good things that comes from God the Father. He does that through the relationship. God does that for us through the relationship we have with Him in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so important that we talk about that relationship with God through Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to acquaint us well with God and to break down the barriers between man and God. And we have that wonderful relationship, and you ought to rejoice in the fact that you have a relationship with God the Father made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. That in itself is enough to rejoice. So I say unto you today, if you wish to rejoice and have a good in the goodness of God during 2018, I exhort you to give great thought to Jesus. Think about Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Live in Jesus. Rest in Jesus. Everything of this life and life to come is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Search Him out. Learn of Him. Hold on to Him. Live. And just rest in Jesus. Jesus, I come to you with this and I'm going to leave it to you. I want to do this, Jesus, and I'm just going to rest in the fact you're going to help me with it, man. Rejoice in the goodness there. I exhort you to give great thought to Jesus. When Jesus reigns in our hearts, you will rejoice regardless of what takes place. You got an appointment with a doctor? Don't look good? Rejoice on the way there. whatever takes place. Rejoice. I experience a rejoicing new year. I'm looking forward to experiencing a joyful new year throughout 218. And I will say this, if you will look to Jesus by faith, talk to Jesus by faith. If you will by faith walk with Jesus, who knows what your 2018 can be? Only Jesus does. Stand with me, and Jesus today is, he has sent me to invite you to come. If you don't know him, come. Yeah, if you need some renewing, come. If you need prayers, come. If there's anything in your life that is not what it ought to be, don't enter into 2018 without seeking Jesus right now for it. Okay, we're going to sing the first verse only as I, for Jesus, invite you to come to him for any reason you might need to. If you'll be seated, please, for a few minutes. Now, some of you probably are saying, what? Why? You just saw Robert and Angela walk down this aisle not too long ago, and they desired to be a member of this church, and we welcomed them. We welcomed them upon their confession of faith. And I don't doubt anybody's faith, and they tell me that they have done what Jesus asked them to do. I always give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And if there's anything that's not right in that, I always pray, Lord, you deal with that. You take care of that. And so this is one of those times that that has happened, where the Holy Spirit has worked. And folks, I tell you, I hope you can see the Holy Spirit work here. Angela and Robert, and you can correct me anything time you want if I say something wrong. They come from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different religions, so to speak. And they both believed, thought that he did here, what God had to for them to do in Christ Jesus, to make that perfect relationship that they had with the Lord. Now, they have come here, and they have been faithful here, and they have been, no one would want better people to work with and do things. The fruits was there, but here's one thing that happened. They got back in their Bible. I didn't go to their house pushing things on them, did I? In fact, I got an email from Angela. And what they have been doing, and I admire them for that, they have really been studying the Word. And they have concluded, because Angela, when she accepted the Lord, she did what they taught, what that group believed, and they believed you're saved, and they vote on you then to see if you can be a member of the church, and then they baptize you into their church. There's other different, and I'm not going to go all that route, there's other beliefs does different things. What they did, they together studied that Bible. I think they were really checking up on me to see if I was telling them what was in there. And they come to the conclusion, this is where the Holy Spirit works through the Word. Angela woke up and she was troubled. And the Holy Spirit will trouble your mind and heart. And she was troubled, and the thing the Holy Spirit impressed upon her mind is the fact that accepting Jesus, being voted on to be a member, to be baptized in a church, didn't fit in her Bible. So she had come to the conclusion she had done what she thought was right, but she now knows the truth has come from God's Word. She hasn't done what God wanted her to do to make her salvation sure, to be sealed in with Christ. In her and Robert's study together then, evidently it kind of had Robert started thinking then, and Robert and her then prayerfully studying, coming up to the conclusion, they know that what is taught here comes right from the pages of that Bible. That it says that we come, that we don't have to ask them to confess Christ. They've already done that with their life. We don't have to ask them if they believe. They've done showed that. The only thing we see is what they recognize in their lives and they want to do. They know that we baptize for the remission of sin. That's what Peter said. And we know that we baptize for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord does the adding to the church, to His church. That's scriptural, right out of the Bible. So, yes, they're come today, and what they want to do, they want to be baptized. And in doing so, they're saying they have their faith. They certainly honor God and love the Lord. And they want to be baptized because they want to do what the Word says to do. Now, sometimes people won't do that. And I've shared a few times with you where this has happened before. Not here. Well, it has happened here before. Right, here's a case. Can I say that? And yeah, here's a case. They were studying, and she had been many years in her life, had thought she had done exactly what God said, and she loved God, she was serving the church and so forth. Nothing wrong with that, you know. But she realized her life was, and she then said, I want to be baptized according to what the Scripture says. And here's another one over here. We just baptized not too long ago, right? And you? Yeah, we baptized you. I baptized you. I don't know. You came to me, didn't you? And some reason, and I forgot the reason you gave me, and that's all right. But some reason, she felt what she believed and what she was doing wasn't according to what it said, and she wanted to make it right. But I can tell you stories all along. We baptized five people who were 50 years old down at Somerset Church one year because they said, they recognized they didn't do what God wanted them to do, and they wanted to be fully sure they have done what Jesus asked so that they can receive what He has to give. You with me, folks? That's what's taking place. Praise God. We praise God for it. Doodle, if you'll come and take over, you and Omer, and take over the service, we're going to carry out what the Holy Spirit has put upon the hearts and minds of these good people. Okay, if you all go and make ready, we will. And we'll turn things over to Doodle and Omer.
Peter said, I really think this is better than any passage that Your word tells us right now there's rejoicing in heaven because people have made sure their salvation through Christ Jesus by doing what your word says. Thank you for that. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to bless Robert and Angela and their family. Almighty God, they've been a blessing to us, and we want to be a blessing to them as they continue to serve your order. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you just go with them, use them in a great way to share Jesus with others, that they might too come to the knowledge that they have of the Lord and of our God. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Dudo, if you will dismiss our people, someone probably.